Well, today, as we well know, is Pentecost. And about 2,000 years ago, God started his church with the outpouring of his Holy Spirit on those whom he began calling at that time, which the first group, as I recall, was about 3,000 people. But this outpouring of God's Spirit and having God's Spirit, and receiving God's Spirit, the broad question is, what does that mean? What did the Holy Spirit provide those that were called and have been called since of God? Was the Holy Spirit once received, was it something that drove these Christians onward into their walk of the future? Were those people that were making up at that time, the New Covenant Church, were they expected to do something with that Holy Spirit? Now, what we're going to do is basically just refresh our memories on how God's Spirit, his Holy Spirit, interacts with us. This is not new stuff. This is basically, I'm just going to go over some things. And maybe for some of the younger ones that haven't heard some of this before, then it just a refresh of some of the things we already know. And of course, we all should know and remember that God's Holy Spirit is given us by God. This is just context, background, you might say. After he calls us, he, of course, opens our mind to understanding the scriptures, at least somewhat. And then we're given repentance by God. And through the acceptance of God's purpose in our life and baptism, then his Holy Spirit is given to those whom he's calling through the laying on of the hands of the ministry. And again, we all know this. And then, of course, from that time forward, we begin our first baby steps as God's children, as converted folks. First baby steps of spiritual growth is what I call it. Okay, that's the background. That's the basic beginning process, and we're all aware of that. One of the questions I asked up here in maybe another form, I said, what does God's Spirit impart to us? Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1. I'm not sure how many times this has been tromped on. A few, maybe. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, this is that time when this new bunch, we might say, the New Covenant Church was just kicking off. That's the setting here. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And, of course, he was talking, you know, directly to the apostles, or the disciples, become apostles. But this applies to each individual, whatever your status may be in the church, that receives God's Holy Spirit. So this applies to any of us. And note here that the Holy Spirit, because I'm saying what does it impart us? Well, the Holy Spirit provides power. That's what this says. Of course, it's spiritual power, which is not to be limited and say, well, it can't affect anything physical. Well, we know good and well it can. Obviously, the whole physical universe came out of that Spirit, out of God's power. The whole physical universe was created. But its power, spiritual power from God, that we as normal, natural humans have not had before. Up until that moment, we've not had this at all. This is a brand new thing for us. It's power to understand the scriptures, power to do his will. We could say strength or we could say whatever, but it's something we haven't had before. It's power to commit to a life of overcoming, literally overcoming sin. It's power to show us where we need to change from our natural ways, our carnal ways, to God's righteousness. Now, this scripture says we become witnesses to Jesus Christ. Now, when he was talking specifically to the apostles, of course, he was talking about them, I mean, literally being witnesses to his death, his resurrection, all of these things. But this is actually telling us, from those times, others with his Spirit, that we are that we are to become witnesses. Where is it? I lost it. That we are to become witnesses to Jesus Christ. Now, for those following, in a sense, this is talking about that we are witnesses of God's way of life. In other words, we're living examples. We are living witnesses to the way that God is going to eventually call every human that has ever been. That is, to Jesus Christ. In other words, as a witness. Because none of us were there when all this was going on. So we weren't literally eyewitnesses as those folks were. So witnesses through our example of living God's way. And that only is even possible to even know about God's way, the truth of it, without His Spirit and being able to live in it in the first place. All of that comes from God's Holy Spirit, coupled with these little minds that God has given us as well. So that's some of the things that it imparts. Now, second item I have here is the question would be, does the Holy Spirit somehow do all of this for us? Does it control us? Well, I think we know the general answer to that, which is no. Now, you may have read some examples where God's Spirit fell on so-and-so, and immediately they started, you know, dancing and prophesying and singing and whatever they were doing. But that was more of a reaction to rather than control of, because that's not how it works. It doesn't control us. But let's look over to 1 Corinthians, and we can see this for ourselves here in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 32. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 14, 32. And the spirits, this is talking about the Holy Spirit, of the prophets are subject to the prophets. We've all heard that scripture, I'm sure, many, many times, read it. And it means just what it says. In another place, it talks about the Spirit of Jesus Christ in relation to these prophets. So this is God's Holy Spirit. They receive that power from God. They receive that revelation from God. But yet they are, that power, that spirit is subject to them, to what they do, to what they desire to do with it. That's what it's telling us. In other words, the Holy Spirit does not take charge and run off with us. It just doesn't work that way. So put it another way, we actually control it. God gives us His Spirit, but we control it. We set the pace for it from the sense of whether we're really convinced and believing that all we're doing is good and wonderful and we go for it, we're living this life, or we can kind of hold back and we can kind of take a weaker approach to things. God's Spirit isn't going to kick us and make us do anything. That's really what we're getting at here. It imparts the ability, the power, to do the things God has called us to do, but it doesn't make us. So our direction, our effort, it's absolutely essential to spiritual growth. That is, in becoming like God. And again, we know these things. It requires two things working together, God's Spirit and our willing minds, our willing attitudes. You could liken this to if you have a wood shop, let's say, and you got all these powerful, powerful woodworking tools, maybe thousands upon thousands of dollars worth of stuff crammed into this wood shop. Well, okay, and there's the wood lying there. But you never use the tools. You just never use them. What happens to the wood, aside from rotting after, you know, 50 years or whatever? Nothing. It doesn't change. It's the same as it was before. So that analogy certainly applies here. If you're not going to use the tools to shape that wood, nothing is accomplished. Nothing happens. So any wood in the shop, in this case, is unchanged in its original form. You remember the parable of the talents, the three fellows, three individuals? They were given these three different gifts from God, talking about His Holy Spirit. And, you know, the one guy who was given more, you know, he did what he did. And the guy was given a little bit less, you know, he did what he did. They all increased. But the guy who received one talent, one portion of God's Spirit, he didn't do anything with it. And Christ even said, well, if you had just put it in the bank using the vernacular, you know, using some physical terms to describe what he was talking about, I would have at least gotten interest. But you did nothing with it. There was no increase. There was no gain. So this person did not overcome. He did not change. And God ends up taking his portion of the Spirit and giving it to someone else who was using the Spirit and was changing. So all of these things, I think, bring out this point that God's Spirit doesn't control us. We actually make those decisions. And it's up to us to act, to do. And our lives are not infinite. Our lives are finite. And we don't know tomorrow. And any of you heard Mr. Winter Bible study on Friday night? It's exactly the sort of thing he was talking about. The sermonette yesterday that Mr. Mellorup gave, same theme, just what he was talking about. We're given a certain period of time in which to act, and we don't even know how long that period of time is, really. So we have to seize that opportunity, and unless we're serious about it, it may be pitiful or lacking altogether. It just depends. Thirdly, third question, what do we do to have spiritual growth and added strength through God's Holy Spirit? What do we do? Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, that question could be answered and run off, I don't know how many different directions, multiple sermons and Bible studies and you name it. But for the purposes of this sermonette, let's go to 2 Timothy and chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I hope Mr. Froge is rapidly rewriting everything because, who knows, maybe I'm stepping all over this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul talking to Timothy here, and he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, if you look this word up, stir, this is the only place it appears in the Scripture, this particular word. And it means to re-enkindle, re-enkindle. So it's talking about firing up something that has already been kindled within us. So that spirit is given to us by God, but again, it's up to us to keep it stirred, to keep it moving, to keep it stirred up to provide. And by the way, we do grow in God's Holy Spirit as we use it, as we become more adept at this spiritual walk that we're all in. But we have to fire it up. We accomplish this. You might think, I think we all know this. We stir up God's Spirit through regular prayer. I mean, meaningful prayer with God. We stir up his Spirit through Bible study. And of course, along the way, we ask him to help us understand and all that. But that's where God's Spirit gets stirred and becomes more powerful in our lives as we are adding to it. God is adding understanding to us and other things as well through his Spirit and by meditation. Just thinking in terms of how we can apply God's law, God's way, to situations that could easily come up in our own life. Kind of thinking ahead of what decisions we might make if this or if that. That's one form of meditation or thinking. But that stirs our spirit. It stirs our imagination. And it makes us more linked, more involved, more synced with God's purpose for us. And it's all done through his Spirit. But his spirit gets more stirred up. And this thing here, this scripture here is talking about stir up or re-enkindle what we already have. And so the result of all of this, stirring things up, is that God's Holy Spirit is simply providing more power for spiritual growth. More of God's love, which God is love, become like him. That's what we have to pursue. And he sheds that abroad, as the scriptures say, his spirit, and through us. And that's what we have to keep in mind. All of this proactive work on our part, decisions we make, makes this happen. And God's spirit gives us the power, the insight, the maturity, all of these things for us to be going down the right track or the right path. And it stabilizes us spiritually so that we are and become fully committed to that life of righteousness that we've been called to, which includes rejecting the pulls of the old man and of Satan and of the world. That requires power. But it doesn't happen just by having God's Spirit. It happens by stirring God's Spirit, by using God's Spirit. So God's Holy Spirit provides the power for us to live a godly life as witnesses in the way we live to all those around us, witnesses of God's purpose, of His way, and God's Holy Spirit, it is subject to our direction. In fact, it depends upon our direction because God isn't going to do it for us. And His Spirit, His power, doesn't have its own mind in that sense. It's only directed either by God or by us, when you think about it. And God's leaving that up to us in terms of what we're going to do with it. But we must stir, we must re-enkindle that which was kindled in us before. And we do that, like I said, through prayer. And fellowship, of course, helps as long as we are discussing and thinking and talking about the things of God, as opposed to just, you know, the latest thing on Facebook or some other crazy thing that goes on, which is good for a laugh, but that's about it. So through prayer, through Bible study, through meditation, that power is provided by God's Holy Spirit. And it is, of course, in God's love. So we grow from that process. So that's today what we were talking about. And the title on this thing is simply The Working of the Holy Spirit. But that's the basics of how it works. And works it does, but we have our part too.